For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media. Hello, everyone. Clear the sleep from your eyes and welcome to the only podcast that stayed up last night watching the end of the Vancouver-Dallas game. It's time to do a little stargazing. We have a bonus guest. Mark, of course, is here. Mark, hello. But Taylor is tagging in on this fine Friday morning. How's it going, guys?
I had no problem with the start time.
Says the resident West Coaster. No, it's good. I'm just seeing this as practice for, you know, first round when Dallas inevitably ends up with a 9 o'clock start time every home game. So I'm just.
I mean, you're not wrong. And I was also reminiscing with some buddies about the days when Dallas was in the Pacific Division and half of the schedule was this hot nonsense. So it is better than it used to be. And the hockey quality, at least, it's not like we have to stay up and watch, you know, Ken Hitchcock 2-1 wins at, you know, midnight central anymore. So that's positive.
Yeah, I mean, who can argue? This is the team's on a season long win streak.
Jake I was going to say,
appears to be back. Jamie Benn is scoring. Night. Yeah. I mean, find a complaint. I suppose you could say that Yanni Hakanpaa is out. Somebody will find something to complain about.
But there was Nils Lundqvist breaking up a 2-on-1 last night, stepping it up. Yeah. The most important thing, the thing that I want to lead with is taking a little glance-a-roo at the standings page this morning. And lo and behold, Dallas has the Western Conference's best record. And they've got the first of the little playoff X's. So Dallas last night officially confirmed their attendance in the postseason. And thanks to a Colorado OT loss and a recent Winnipeg loss, they are top of the conference with 101 points. More importantly, they're also top of the conference by winning percentage, 682. Vancouver and Colorado both 671. Winnipeg has tailed. They're at 648, actually behind Edmonton right now, if you just look at points percentage. So it's not separation. Both Vancouver and Colorado have a game in hand. So if they win that game in hand, they're just a point behind. But we've been talking a couple of times over the course of the season about show-me games and Dallas establishing their playoff bona fides. And last night was a pretty good line item on the old resume, was it not?
I mean, yeah, I would like to think so. It was well and truly one of the only tests, I would argue, down the stretch for the Stars. I think out of all of the teams that are in this kind of race to the top, they probably have it the easiest. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for them to look at that and go, oh, we should just breeze by this, or maybe they haven't felt challenged. And so I think it was really good for them to get a playoff-like game and that intensity here down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything in Dallas's history, right, There's no such thing as a gimme game. And I like that you point that out because it is an easy schedule and there's pros and cons, right? The downside is they're not going to have a lot of these high stakes, high talent tilts down the stretch. But the flip side of that is this is a team that's still figuring some things out in terms of their roster. Tyler Seguin was back last night. As Mark mentioned, his BFF, Yanni Hakanpaa, remains on the sidelines. They're integrating Tanev, right? There's some moving parts here. And so, you know, one of the benefits is not having as brutal a schedule. Maybe that means a little bit of extra rest for Jake Ottinger. Maybe that means a little bit of extra time tuning up the band, right? There's some stuff that they could get done when they're not necessarily looking at Edmonton, Colorado, Winnipeg, Vancouver on a loop down the stretch.
I think you're right there. And it's almost like you could see a couple hits early on from Vancouver and put the Stars into a little bit of a wake-up mode. Like, oh yeah, these guys are coming after us. This is going to be a different game than the last one against San Jose or playing the Ducks or whoever else. Even Arizona is not going to give them that much of a battle. But everybody was engaged last night.
Very engaged. And we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about some of the roster stuff going on. We're going to talk lineups. We're going to talk, oh gosh, we're just going to talk about the Dallas Stars. I think that's what we're going to do. But before that, we've been talking about our tournament, but the tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round, night after night, right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head over to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And I want to start our podcast with a guy, Mark, that we maligned a little bit last week. It has not been a banner season for Jake Ottinger, but boy howdy, last night was just cover page material for the this team is in good shape in the pipes argument. He was great, was he not?
He was absolutely fabulous, and people were okay in front of him, but he still had to face a lot of things that very easily, you know, 2 weeks ago we would have been saying, yeah, you know, that one is a tough save and he didn't make it. And so we're a little worried about playoff Jake. And playoff Jake was in full mode last night. And hopefully this is a sign of the future.
Yeah, and I love it. Taylor, we'll bring you in here as well. What did you see last night between the pipes and including the defense as well? Like what was your kind of, let's call it a vibe check as all things Dallas goaltending last night?
The vibes were immaculate. I think what I saw was confidence, honestly. I think there's been times where when Ottinger hasn't made a save earlier in the season, the body language just maybe didn't look right. Like it was like, oh, here we go. Like, uh-oh, you know, but they kind of figured like you didn't see that. Yeah. He got beat glove side again. And I think that's a conversation for deep in the heart of summer of how can he improve himself? But you know, even though that, I think he kind of just looked at that and said, well, that was a really good play and not a lot I could do about that. I like the way Scott Wedgwood talks about how he assesses his own performance. He breaks them down into coulda, woulda, and should've. And so, you know, that's one of those, yeah, maybe he could have had that, but like, I wouldn't have expected him to have had that. That was more of a defensive breakdown in front of him, just lost the guy straight up. So, you know, I thought he looked good. I thought he looked confident. And I think as the game went on and even, you know, there were some scary moments there early in the third, but they just kind of rode the wave and they waited for their opportunity. And once they got it, they just took it and ran. And Jake really didn't have to do a lot down the stretch to get the game, you know, under control. So I thought confidence, that's what I saw.
Yeah, I fully agree there. And the thing that I really have liked, especially last night, was the Stars tend to come back into the defensive zone and collapse into a tight circle. And last night, it seemed like the defense was fine. They were keeping their gap good, but the forwards coming back weren't just going into this cocoon, but they were cutting off angles. And so you didn't have these, you know, the third guy into the play who's coming down open, which I guess kind of happened on the one goal, but for the most part, they were cutting off lanes and limiting the options that the guy coming into the zone had with his passes. And that makes for a better team.
I think it does. I love both of your comments, I think, hit the two key themes, right? The first being confidence, and it's, you know, body language wise, he looked settled in his crease. He was getting squared to shots. Yeah, he got beat, but I don't know that I can put a lot of blame on anybody for giving up that goal. Like, that was a, you know, JT Miller is a guy that has scored a couple this season and got into a real premium spot. And yeah, I think everybody would always like their goaltender to make a save, but that's, I love the woulda, coulda, shouldas. That seems like it would have been real nice to get that save. But if your game plan kind of hinges and expects that save, you're in a lot of trouble. But the thing that I like is how much you both worked the Stars defense into the discussion, because I think so much of, you know, there's been a lot on Jake, obviously, but a lot of the problem this season has been Dallas kind of adjusting to this. They apply pretty aggressive pressure to the puck, either on the forecheck, kind of pinching at the zone, or in the defensive zone, kind of trying to trap on the wall. And there have been stretches this season where they've given up stuff in the middle. They've given up stuff in tight. They've given up really good looks. And I think part of fixing Jake Oettinger is fixing the play that he sees in front of him. And this is a team that is good enough, talented enough. Like, he should be able to go through stretches where the team in front of him is locking things down and not asking him to make a bunch of, you know, crazy stand on your head and high danger saves.
Well, and I think what actually happened in that first period, I mean, Vancouver had one high danger look at Oettinger. That mm-hmm. was it. And so I think that allowed him to kind of settle into the game. And, you know, when your defense is playing that well in front of you, that has to give you confidence that, like, you're not going to get the crazy bloopy kind of goals. And so it allowed, I think, him to kind of settle into the game and find his rhythm a little bit better. So, you know, if they could just do that from here on out, that would
be. Yeah, if they could just play like that, right?
Just do that. Well,
go ahead. I'm going to be a little downer here maybe and say the one thing that kind of stands out, if you look at the time that people played, was Nils Lundqvist was under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so that does kind of lead you to think, he's still not reached that level of trust. And if you're a Nils Lundqvist fan, as far as getting time in the playoffs, that does not bode well, because this was a game certainly that had a playoff atmosphere. And Lundqvist's time was severely limited.
Yeah. I mean, I think that and I'd love to get your perspective, Taylor, because Mark and I have certainly gone round and round on this one. But I think that the decision has been made seemingly in regards to Lundqvist's role on this team in this lineup. And I obviously mentioned he did a very good job defending a 2-on-1 earlier, but yeah, I don't know that he is what he is at this point. And you can argue about whether or not there should be more to it, or, you know, he's being used. Probably there's a lot of discussions you can have, but the core of it is, like, yeah, I think you're right. He's a guy that's just not going to play a lot if Pete DeBoer can avoid it.
I don't know that that's fair, because I think you have to look at time on ice in a broader context. Okay. This game had a metric ton of special teams for the last half of it. And so Lundqvist doesn't have a role currently on the power play. Thomas Harleaf came in and basically grabbed that chance to run the second power play unit. So, like, who are you taking off the power play to give him more time on ice? You're not cutting Haskin and you're not cutting Harley. So that is going to limit his time on ice. And then you look at the penalty kill. Lindell, Haskinen, those guys are the ones that are going out and killing a lot of the penalties. And so are you cutting them in that role? No, you're not. And so, of course, that's going to leave a guy like Nils Lundqvist looking kind of worse off, because he doesn't play either of those roles. And when, like, half the game felt like it was played on one side of that or the other, then of course his time on ice is going to look lower. I'm not saying that he didn't play less than others. He definitely did. At even strength, he had lower.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers right now, and he had 907 of 5-on-5 time, and the next lowest on the team at 5-on-5 was Tanev at 14 minutes. So
right, but I'm just,
yeah, but I mean, you're exactly right, because pairs get all messed up and it takes you a long time to get back into your you know, first pair, second pair, third pair, roll the defensive pairs order, and the game outside of the first period was special teams.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you gotta take it with a little pinch of salt. Yep. You gotta think about, like, broader context of the game. I think that Lundqvist is coming in and he's doing exactly what the coaching staff wants him to do. I do think that, you know, he's just, there's a lack of trust potentially between team staff and him, and that just kind of is. But the only thing that he can do is play the game in front of him. You know, he can't make himself have more time on ice unless he continues to do well in the minutes that he is given. And then you also got to think, I think in this kind of game, you're tied headed into the third period. If it were me and this is a playoff game, of course the third period is going to see minimal ice time. You know, I'm going to try to roll those top four because those are my best chances of not getting scored on and getting a goal for myself. But that's just me, and I'm not a coach.
I think that is what a hockey coach would do in that situation, Taylor. And I think this is the argument, right? It's I think you can both be right. And since I've got the big microphone, I'm going to say that. Ha ha. No. But I think it's the same as Taylor. I think you're correct. There is a lot of circumstantial stuff that very much explains why we saw what we saw out of Lundqvist, even in the context of 5-on-5 ice time. Because when games get chopped up, it is very hard for players to sit for a prolonged stretch and then jump into a high leverage situation. So when games get into special teams, you see guys like Lundqvist lose ice time first because they don't play on special teams, and then second because coaches become reluctant if the team has been killing a penalty for, you know, if Lundqvist hasn't been on the ice for 5-10 minutes, right? DeBoer is not necessarily going to, I'm obviously assuming some things here, but the thought is he has to maybe make some determination about, well, when can I get this guy in? What's the risk? Is he going to be ready to go, right? So I think that's part of it. But Mark, to your point, part of why this is the distribution he's getting is because, frankly, other players have asserted themselves in roster and lineup roles in a way that he hasn't yet, right? So I think it's the totality of the, you know, Nils Lundqvist conversation is that it's just complicated.
Well, and here I'm kind of trolling through Natural Stat Trick here. And
emphasis on trolling, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. And when he was playing bottom of the lineup forwards, dominant, but the time on ice with some of the lines that Vancouver was throwing out that were up the lineup, they were getting caved in. And I mean, it's limited ice time, so it's one bad little stretch here where they get a cycle going can ruin that. But it looks to me a whole lot like players' time where he was being protected, and that's fine.
That's what you do with third parent guys, though.
Exactly.
That's not unique to him at all.
Yep.
Literally every coach in the league does.
Yeah, but you know,
we beat that horse.
I will say, moving on, using the segue, I think this though is a really good example of the job the team has done building the roster, because we now have the situation where they brought in Tanev, and there was a time when the top four would have included Ryan Suter. And the top four, you know what I mean? Like there was a time when those you know, looking down the bench, one goal lead against an excellent Vancouver team trying to protect it. There was a time when you're running, you know, Suter and Hockenpah every other shift. And thanks to the emergence of Thomas Harley, thanks to the acquisition of Chris Tanev, Dallas is now in a situation where they've got a pretty good group to close out a close game against a good team, right? You could do a lot worse than some combination of Harley, Haskinen, Lindell, and Tanev kind of shepherding things over the finish line. So I do want to point out that, yes, this is all stuff that they probably need to figure out in the long term, but it's a lot less of a pressure-filled decision now that we're talking about the fifth and sixth defenders in the lineup and not the, you know, fourth defender in the lineup.
Right. And we're kind of skipping over the important thing, I think, to look at here, which is not the defensive side, but the offensive side of the game. And I think against Vancouver here, what we saw was that having those three offensive contributing lines means that you aren't dependent on one line always being there and putting up the goals and getting you the win. And so, for instance, last night, I thought the Duchesne line was probably having a weaker game than they've had. But on the other hand, all of a sudden you see that the Hintz line is just dominant, and Wyatt Johnson's line is being dominant.
And what? So it's so good.
Yeah. And so at a certain point here, you say, I can only shut down so much. And one of those lines is going to come at me and be able to dominate my third pair. And I think we saw that last night.
I also want to say, like, Wyatt Johnson has reached a stage. There was a sequence about, I think it was relatively late, final third of the third period, where he breaks into the zone, puts his back into a defender. Nothing comes of it, but, like, we've talked about it. But he's reached the stage where he knows how good he is, and it's not about figuring out if he can play at this level. He's just doing the things that occur to him and assuming that I can stick handle this guy. I can take this shot. I can do it. The assertiveness in his play over as this season has progressed has been tremendous. And you know, like I said, last night was a top of the conference showdown, right? It was as big a game as you can get this time of the year. And he was and continues to be just one of Dallas's most reliable, most effective players. So big ups to Joe Pavelski's roommate.
He's just so cute when he scores too. Like, he's just having the time of his life out there. And, you know, you love to see guys just enjoying what they love. And maybe that's just me. I enjoy how fun it feels like this team is having.
It's nice to watch him, right? Like, Taylor, we've been there through some pretty dire Dallas Stars years.
Well, it's just an intangible that you can't put, that's not going to show on the stat line. That's not going to show up anywhere. But the fact that these guys, like, there's a reason this locker room is considered one of the best in the league, whether it's the leadership, the mix of veteran versus young guys, like, they just all, like, they just very much truly enjoy one another. And I think that, you know, of course, winning always helps, but that's what is able to keep them kind of even keeled and why we haven't seen them go on these long stretches where they're, you know, struggling and they're not getting the results. Like, they just keep working at it because they can't.
There was the insane stat, and I think they beat, but there's the insane stat from earlier this season that, like, since he's been hired, Pete DeBoer has gone more than three games without getting a point, like, once or something absurd like that. To your point, Taylor, this team never seems to let it snowball. Like, they'll have bad games, they'll get blown out, stuff happens because that's hockey, but they never let that one poor performance turn into a bad week or a bad month and just kind of spiral.
Yeah.
And I mean, take a look. I think the one of the fun things here coming down the stretch is just going to be taking a look and seeing who's going to score the most goals on this team. It's, you know, Wyatt Johnston is kind of nudged into the lead, but Hintz apparently had some stick issues, is what Razor was saying last night. And so he's got a new batch coming in for Seattle. So maybe we're ready for a Hintz barrage at the end.
You know, Robo got the empty netter. So yeah. We've got, just bringing that up to date, right? We've got what Johnston leads the way with 28, Henson Robertson at 27, Pavelski's 25, Duchesne 24, Sagan 22, Mush 20. And you know what? We didn't include
him. We could get number eight.
Say what?
We could get number eight with 20.
I was going to say, we didn't include him last week because, I don't know, we're insane, but Jamie Benn scored again. I think it's, what, six games with a goal. He's up to 18. So yeah. This team is absurd.
Yeah, that's we're missing one forward from having three lines worth of 20 goal scorers.
I mean,
it's just nuts.
It's just nuts. Even Ryan Suter's got a couple of goals, so it's great. Although one bad side, guys, we've got Logan Stankoven is one game away from matching his career high pointless streak. He's three games without a point right now. How concerned are we about Stanker?
Literally not at all.
The appropriate answer.
The most absurd, you know, it is one of those things where and a little peek behind the curtain here. When I was in the locker room, I literally went up to Stankoven and I said, "Thank you for giving us something to talk about." Well, okay, to be fair to me.
Elite trolling by Taylor.
This team has been relatively healthy over the course of the season. Yes, Ottinger missed a month. Yes, Haskinen missed a month. You kind of wouldn't notice it if you looked at how the team performed. Like, they just kind of rolled on, you know, so there hasn't been a lot of, you know, who's in and who's out. I mean, we quibble about third pairing guys, but, like, that's all we've had to talk about. That's literally all there has been, is, like, who's the odd forward out this particular game, whatever. And so it was kind of funny and kind of not, like, it just, this team hasn't gone on long runs of either in any direction. Highest win streak, you know, six games. is kind of not that many when you think about what other teams in this league have done. And I mean, Nashville was like on an 18 game point streak, 16-0-2. So they haven't been talked about, and they've just been quietly going about their business. People are like, oh wait, the Stars exist, because they don't have a guy who has gone on this run like Connor McDavid. Yep. You know, they don't have a guy who's leading the league in scoring, because every line
just everybody has. You don't need a 50 goal scorer when literally everybody on the team can score 20.
So like in the broader scheme of narratives, I guess you could say, not a lot has been written about Dallas, because there's not a lot to really say. Like, oh look, they've got three lines that can score. At one point, the fourth line had scored like in 5 of the last 7 games. And then you go, huh, wait, what? And then you go, wait, when did that happen? But nobody's talking about a fourth line doing that. And so like, there just hasn't been a lot to put them top of the board national media.
If I can kind of distill the point you're making, Taylor, it's throw some respect on Sam Steele's mustache. Is that really what the takeaway is?
I mean, yeah, like best mustache on the team by a country mile for sure.
And to give some actual useful data supporting what you're talking about, as of this morning, Friday morning as we record, right, Dallas leads the league with 273 goals scored. So it's not just that. This isn't just homerism saying, hey, why aren't people paying more attention to our offense? This team has managed to score more goals than any other team in the NHL without having a 30 goal scorer. And they're going to get a couple, right? There's some guys that are going to get over that line. But to this point, right, they don't have that, you know, 120 plus point, you know, they don't have a Connor McDavid. They don't have somebody individually just blowing it out every night, because everybody does it, right? It's just, okay, it's Jamie's turn to have a, you know, multi-game goal streak. Oh, it's Wyatt's turn to do that now. Robertson's going to get his, you know, it's everybody kind of steps up at various points. And I think this gets to the overall point of that is, I think, part of why this team has been as level and consistent as it has, because any one player, you know, Hintz went through a double-digit goal slump, right? Any one player on our roster, really any two or three, could go through a fairly brutal offensive stretch, and you aren't really going to notice, because that's just going to be the week where, you know, Craig Smith decides to score in a couple of games, right? That's stuff that this team is just so balanced.
Okay, but here's my question. When's the last time you saw a team this balanced in Dallas?
I mean, it would be pre-bankruptcy, right? We've been conditioned, you get one line and you'll like it. And that's been more than a decade.
When the Stars last won the Stanley Cup, didn't they do it in a similar fashion? Everybody was committed to defense. You didn't have a guy that was like popping off. You just had a bunch of dudes doing their job.
Just a bunch. That's going to be the team banner. Just a bunch of dudes doing their job. No, I think you're right, Taylor. It's been that long. And part of it is because that's hard, especially in a cap league. Like let's speaking of mustaches, let's throw some praise at Jim Nill while we're at it. Like it is really difficult to assemble a team with this much balance. You've got to hit free agency. You've got to hit the draft. You've got to extend your guys. Well, like you've got to do so much well. I think the other piece of that is there were resource constraints, right? There was a period of time when Dallas wasn't in a position to go out and get a bunch of, you know, talented players, right? Because they pretty much just float that one line, and it's ownership changes have helped. An excellent GM has helped. Like, I think those are all things that have contributed to what we're seeing, which is similar to what the Stars were like when they were, you know, winning the Stanley Cup.
Okay. So with that in mind, does Dallas care about winning the President's Trophy and the potential curse that comes along with it? Or do you look at it and say, well, the last time they won the President's Trophy, they won the Stanley Cup?
I would say win the President's Trophy and repeat.
Yeah.
Show you're the best and then back it up.
That's what I think. I don't think that this team or any hockey player cares about the President's Trophy as a thing. Hey, let's go out and win the President's Trophy. I do think they care about it in the sense of they want to win every game, and that's going to get them the prize. So it's sort of that indirectly, like, yeah, they care about winning it because they want to beat the teams that they're playing every night. And while there isn't like a huge, you know, it's not like a capital H huge advantage, I think there is enough of an advantage to finishing at the top of the division, at the top of the conference. And then finally, there is the advantage of, we've been talking about their depth, right? To win the President's Trophy, this isn't a team that's going to have to, you know, ride Miro 30 minutes a night, not give Ottinger any rest, and hope that Jason Robertson can play every other shift, right? This isn't a team that has to do the things that might be destructive. So I think we could see a President's Trophy run just because that means they're going to keep distributing minutes relatively easily. They're going to keep scoring goals. They're going to tag in their backup goaltender. And those are the things that got them to this point. Why not get them farther?
There you have it.
There you have it. I think it's a weird thing. It's, as somebody that like follows other sports, predominantly soccer outside of hockey, the idea that there's a negative stigma, even like a humorous one, to being the best team in the regular season kind of blows my, it always blows my mind a little bit. Like, that's awesome. It should absolutely be celebrated. Just the fact that yes, the Stanley Cup is better, but like the fact that Boston last season didn't win the relative lottery of the playoffs doesn't invalidate the fact that they were epic and amazing for the 9 months preceding that.
Exactly.
I refuse to admit that for Boston.
I'm also a like lift the Prince of Wales Trophy guy, you know, like celebrate the conference, celebrate it. If they hang a banner for it, and you know, unless you're Nashville, right? If they hang a legitimate banner for it, then yeah, you should celebrate it.
But also, like, I think that the thing that is really hard for most fans to wrap their brains around is just how long an 82-game season is, how much of a grind it truly is. I, as somebody in the media who does talk to these guys occasionally, you see glimpses of it, but, like, nobody knows unless you're in that locker room exactly how much of it really truly is so hard to be this good for that long. And so I'm on your side, like, celebrate the hell out of it, because making it through an 82 game season at the top of the league or top of your conference or top of your division, even, that is not something that should just be swept to the side and discounted just because of some perception of like a curse or whatever. And yeah, only four, I think I saw, like, I was kind of looking it up. Like, I think only four teams have won the President's Trophy and gone on to win the Stanley Cup in the last like 20 years. But that just to me is because of the parity in the league and the fact that there are so many good teams in the Central Division. One of Dallas, Colorado, or Winnipeg are likely to be done in the first round. And that just kind of seems really unfair for those of us that like really good hockey. So, you know, it's not easy to win that trophy. So, you know, I think I'm with you. Go for it. Win it and then celebrate the shit out of it, because that was not an easy task to accomplish.
No, nothing says that you can't have the Stanley Cup at the same time. And so celebrate as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's less that the trophy is cursed and more that just like winning four best of seven series is cursed, right?
Hard.
Like, it's real hard. Yeah, right. But it's, and I think as well, it's we've been through some fallow periods as Stars fans, and it's another reminder, like, let's celebrate random good things happening, because we don't always get, we've certainly been in seasons where there isn't a hotshot rookie scoring a ton of goals, and there's a, you know, we haven't always had a Wyatt Johnston or Logan Stankoven, a Jake Ottinger, you know, Miro Heiskanen. We haven't always had these things, so let's be happy about it.
Yeah, or even a fourth line that scores. And speaking of which, do you have time for a little trivia question here?
We can do a trivia question, then we'll wrap it up. Yeah, hit us.
Yeah, fourth line. We actually have some scoring coming out of there. Last year we had Luke Glendening, who is still in the NHL. And my question is, how many goals does Luke Glendening have this year?
Oh, he scored a beaut again. Is it three? I think it's five.
Way off. 10. Is it Dallas that just can't score as a fourth line?
Think about how much better the fourth line would be if they added that kind of offensive pop.
With those faceoffs.
Oof.
Yeah, and after last night, you know the importance of faceoffs after watching the first two periods last night. And then they talked about it in the room and they lost one in the third period.
Is that all?
If you believe Twitter, yes.
Why would you ever doubt X?
Exactly. Okay, that's all I got.
That's fantastic. All I got. Taylor,
who's coming up? What games do we have coming up here, Wesley?
That is a great question.
Seattle. You have Seattle on Saturday, and then a late one at home next Wednesday versus the Edmonton Oilers in 8:52 p.m. puck drop, because it is on national TV.
That's going to be a good.
Love those announcers.
Then they've got a little aperitif against the Blackhawks and then the Avs. So it's kind of an interesting final little stretch, right? They've got the Kraken, the Oilers, then the Blackhawks, then the Avs, then the Sabres, then the Jets, then the Kraken again, then closing out the season against the Blues, which depending on how, that's a good, it's not an unstoppable run, but there's going to be enough challenge in that stretch. I think this is going to be a pretty good setup for a postseason run.
Yeah, and it sounds like there are some games for Scott Wedgwood to take some time in the net too,
which is critical. As always, thank you both for joining, Taylor. Glad you could hop over the boards this morning. Mark, as always, your takery is fantastic. KT, for doing the real work getting this put together. You, the listeners, like us, listen to us, download us, do all of the things that give us praise, because we like that. And send questions, comments, all the like helps us figure out what you want to hear so we know what to talk about. This has been Stargazing, presented by Bet Online. Podcast over.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.